Let's talk about contributed content. In my estimation, this is one of the most underused but most successful tools we have in our toolbox. Not only can you control the message and the anchor text and the URL in contributed content, but it's also far easier to place than some of the more traditional media relations activities, such as interviews and feature stories. Yet we tend to shy away from it for some reason. Sure, you have to actually write the content, which may not be part of your scope of work if you're on the agency side, or you may not have the resources internally on the corporate side, but it is worth figuring out. It will give you consistent media relations results that you can control while you work on delivering some of the things you can't control. It's also incredibly easy to measure, allowing you to show that much of the content you create on third-party sites is as valuable as having it on your own. On this week's Spin Sucks podcast episode, we'll talk about why you should no longer be afraid of contributed content, what editors are looking for in contributed content, how to pitch it, what to include, and how to measure it. Stay tuned.
If you're a communications pro who works hard, doesn't compromise quality, and gets the job done, welcome home. We'll share our tips, tricks, and stories, and together we will change the face of PR. Spin sucks, but we don't. With the Spin Sucks podcast, here's Jenny Dietrich.
Welcome back to the Spin Sucks podcast. I'm Jenny Dietrich. In a recent report, The State of Contributed Content from Influence & Co., they found that nearly every editor, including Spin Sucks, plans to publish guest content this year. Nearly every editor. That means newspapers, magazines, blogs, newsletters, and podcasts are all looking for contributed content. Every one of them, including Spin Sucks. Did I already mention that? Nearly 90% said they publish at least one guest piece per week, and more than half, 54%, publish 1 to 4 pieces. These are all online publications, of course. It's harder to have those kinds of numbers in printed publications. But they're not shying away either. We have found that nearly every trade publication in every industry we work in takes guest content, and so do many business and consumer publications. When asked why they accept guest content, most cited have diverse insights from the people who do the work. At Spin Sucks, we always look for guest contributors who have expertise we do not have, such as connected TV advertising, mobile marketing, cannabis communications, graphic design trends, and more. And they're not just looking for written content either. More than 3/4 accept video content, 63% accept audio content, and more than half are doing webinars where they feature guests. The report says, quote, publication editors want to meet their audience's varying needs. If you can help them do so by contributing original, relevant ideas in a variety of formats, you'll have a better chance of earning acceptance, end quote. So much opportunity, so little time. If you're going to pitch contributed content, there are a few things to keep in mind. Number one, when asked what makes them want to read a pitch email from a guest author, editors said the pitch has to succinctly communicate that the author has insights to share that are relevant to the publication's audience and are not overtly promotional. Number two, the pitch should be short and concise and showcase fresh or unexpected angles. For instance, I got a pitch last week and the person said, hey, Jenny, would really like to contribute some content on X to Spin Sucks. Can I send you an outline? Yes, please. Send me the outline. I emailed back and said, this outline looks great. Go ahead and write the article. Done. That's it. That was it. Number three, some editors say they'll only accept content from people they know. Relationships, relationships, relationships. Number four, the content itself should be high quality and non-promotional, of course. Successful guest posts are well-written and engaging and share new ideas and fresh perspectives with audiences. They're not self-serving advertisements and promotions, and they're not written solely by ChatGPT. Number five, the topic should be a fit for the publication's readership. Every publication is unique, and editors expect guest posts to speak to their specific audiences and meet their needs. Just because I'm in Chicago does not mean I'm going to want content about Chicago. As much as I love the city, we are not a blog about Chicago. And number six, the content should share original, expert-level, real-world insights. Remember the EEAT that Google loves? Expertise, experience, authority, and trust? That's what they're looking for. They're looking for guest articles chock full of relevant stories, examples, and original insights from the expert and research to support the claims. From our perspective, I mentioned earlier that we want content from experts where we don't have that expertise, but it fits within the marketing and or communications realm. And we require that it be exclusive to us. We will not publish even a sentence that has been published elsewhere. Lastly, the report asked editors about artificial intelligence, and surprise, I was quoted in it. I actually didn't know until I read it, which was funny. Here's what I said, and actually agree with, quote, "Everyone is playing with ChatGPT," which, as we know, I love. "Artificial intelligence is quickly changing the digital media and publishing industry. While we're not looking for AI to publish finished pieces, we certainly will use it for first drafts. Imagine what that does to an industry if humans aren't careful about publishing the same exact content as their competitors," end quote. Use AI for good. You can use it for first drafts. Don't use it for published drafts, or you'll look and sound like everyone else. Don't let it replace you. In just a minute, I'll be back to talk you through how contributed content will help you reach your goals and the business's goals. I'll be right back. There are two things I want you to know about. The first is the Fundamentals of Media Measurement course that we just launched with Muckrack, and the second is the PESO Model Certification. Both will help you evolve your career this year as you learn how to measure your work using the PESO model to get you there. The Fundamentals of Media Measurement course can teach you how to measure your earned media efforts, create a successful measurement strategy, and report on your success. It will take you about 2 hours, but it has quick, bite-sized lessons you can take when convenient. It has actionable tips, step-by-step approaches, and examples from Jonna Burke, Christopher Penn, and me. Go to mrack.co/spinsucks to learn more, get registered, and start your measurement journey today. That's mrack.co/spinsucks. Please be sure to use that link because I get a gold star every time someone registers, and I love gold stars. And for those of you who need to evolve your career, learn how to integrate the work you do with marketing and amp up your measurement efforts, the PESO Model Certification is for you. Step up your game with an academically accredited PESO Model Certification from SpinSucks and the S.I. Newhouse School of Public Communications at Syracuse University. Learn more about that by going to spinsucks.com/academy, or you can go to spinsucks.com and click on Academy in the navigation. And now, back to the show. Welcome back. The other day, I had a conversation with a girlfriend who's frustrated that a client they work with has a content agency that isn't getting results. She said, all we need are links, and they can't even do that. Look, if your sole purpose is content and you're not getting links, you're doing something wrong. For the rest of us who offer it as a tactic in a larger integrated program such as the PESO model, getting links to the website, either our own or to the client's, should be one of our goals. Here's how it works. As described before the break, let's assume you've effectively pitched contributed content and gotten the topic accepted. You write the content and it's thoughtful and interesting. It's not self-promotional or salesy. Before you submit the piece, you have a second set of eyes to look at it to ensure you don't have any typos or grammatical errors. Then you add a link using anchor text to one of your priority keywords or phrases that leads to content on your website. This link also should not be salesy or self-promotional, so don't use landing pages or sales pages. In fact, don't even use the homepage. Use a blog post or some content that you've produced, such as a video that provides more information about the topic that's in the contributed content. The content is published on a third-party site, and now you have that very valuable link to your site from another website, which drives many different results, which I'll talk you through in just a second. The most important part of contributed content is the link. For instance, let's say I were to submit some contributed content to PR Week about the PESO model. I will use, quote, PESO model, end quote, as my anchor text. Then I will link that phrase to a blog post or podcast episode on Spin Sucks about the PESO model. A few things happen when I do that. PR Week links to Spin Sucks, which tells Google that we are an expert on the PESO model. They give us a gold star. Because PR Week has a higher domain authority than SpinSucks, a higher website score, so to speak, and they are linking to us, Google assumes we're trustworthy because they think we're trustworthy. We get another gold star. When someone searches PESO model, the PR Week and the SpinSucks articles pop up in the first page of results, in the first above the fold, in the first 10 results. Because our name is associated with both pieces, The searcher assumes we are the experts on the topic, and we better be since we created the darn thing. But from a search perspective, now we've gotten a third gold star. Now we have a very valuable link to our website from a higher domain authority site. We have at least three gold stars from Google. So we show up in that first 10 results before you have to start scrolling down. And people click through to our site. And if we've done our jobs correctly, we have calls to action on the website that lead them through a buying process. This is how you measure the work that you're doing. You start with the contributed content that has a link to content on your website, and then you track its effectiveness based on what the website visitors do after they arrive. Of course, it's a little more complicated and nuanced than that, but if you focus on placing contributed content that has one link to your website using anchor text that is a priority keyword or phrase, the rest will happen and you don't have to worry about it. If you'd like a copy of the State of Contributed Content report I mentioned, I will link to it in the show notes on SpinSucks. That's spinsucks.com. To learn more about how to use contributed content in your communications plans, join us in the SpinSucks community. You can find us at spinsucks.com/spin-sucks-community. That's spinsucks.com/spin-sucks-community. It's a community full of crazy smart professionals. It's free, it's fun, it's smart, and you might just learn a thing or two from your peers. I'll see you next week.
If you're ready to change the face of PR, make sure you subscribe to the Spin Sucks podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a rating and a review.